Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention from the canoes and the kayaks to the bicycles. And Grant Peterson, our guest, founder and owner of Rivendell Bicycle Works in Walnut Creek, California. He's written pieces for a variety of magazines, has a new book out called Just Ride, A Radically Practical Guide to Riding Your Bike. And he's commuted exclusively by bike since 1980. So he's got lots of miles on his bike. What about you? Have you got a lot of miles on your bike? Have some questions about your bike? I hope you'll join in as we visit with him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment. Maybe you got a bicycle photo you want to post there. We'd love to have that as well. And Grant Peterson, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Good to be here in your studio.
Hey, tell you what, it's great to have you, and I really enjoyed your book.
Well, thank you.
Done a lot of biking. I don't always agree with every little thing you say.
You know how many times I've heard that? Everyone wants to be their own person, you know? But okay, go on.
But for most of it is, well, I probably even the part I don't agree with you on is okay. You're probably right and I'm not, but... as somebody who's done I've done a lot of biking, and I guess the longest trip I ever had was a 500 miler, and I'm sure you've had a lot longer than that. But I've really enjoyed biking a lot, and I'm learning quite a bit from your book, which I find eminently readable. It's a very readable short chapters that are easy and cover. I mean, this is a practical book. Riding, setting up, health and fitness, safety, accessories, upkeep, technicalities, philosophy, as you call it. Oh, and you've been doing this a lot. You've been involved, personally, professionally, for decades, right?
Yeah, I've never been a professional rider. I guess I make my living, because I got this bicycle company now, but yeah, I'm 58 years old now, and I started riding my bike as a everyone rode as kids, and
yeah.
I quit riding from about age 12 to 15, started again at 15, and then I never stopped or whatever. I don't like cars a whole lot. I guess the better way to say it is that I'm a little bit afraid of cars. I have a car. I drive a car. I don't go on long car trips, but I've never really taken to cars the way a lot of people in my generation and all generations have. Yeah. They've always sort of given me the creeps, and so it's been bikes for me.
And you've been commuting since 1980, just on the safety side of things. That's a long time to be riding your bike to work every day.
Yeah, well, my commute for the last 17 years has only been, a couple miles each way, and I extend it with the little rides. But, for 20 years before that, I probably averaged, 21 miles one-way commutes and often did two-way commutes. So, yeah, I can talk bike commuting with anybody, I think. For a long time, I had 50-mile-a-day commutes for several years. So anyway, I like my short commute now, though.
Yeah. Well, let's in your, and I really did enjoy your book, and I wanted to say a word, have you say a word or two about attitude. What attitude do you hope folks develop about biking?
Well, I think the attitude that they had when they first got on a bike as kids, as opposed to, I guess the polar opposite, which is this obsessive fitness, obsessed riding hard, riding long, racer-influenced attitude, as I said in the book, and as you may know. I think that the racing influence has sort of wrecked bicycle riding for a lot of people. I'm not saying that racers are evil or racing is evil or anything like that. I just think it has too much influence. And, you know, now you can't... This is a generalization. I know there are exceptions out there, but a lot of adult males and females, but certainly a lot of adult males get into bikes, and they look around for role models, and they certainly don't use kids as role models, so they look to pro racers, and, you know, there's, next thing you know, they're dressing like one, riding the same kind of bike, and all that kind of stuff. And it's not all that fun. I would say, you know, that kind of riding is not fun. People want to go out on a bike and have fun, but, you know, if you're a middle-aged male or something, you're feeling a little bit of paunchy or something, and you're a little bit soft in the middle there, and they want to go out and get skinny on a bike, and they think that the way to do that is to just hammer themselves. And, you know, I would disagree with that.
No, yeah, you would. And just as I loved your diagrams, too, as to for with the racing bikes, for somebody older... The way they're fitted often is you're sort of leaning down or bearing a lot of weight on your hands.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that the way bikes are fitted for older guys or younger people, older people, it doesn't matter. I think that there's a trend toward ill-fitting bikes. And historically, you know, this has not been the case. We are, I guess, in aberrational times from a bicycle fitting point of view. But again, that is so much a racing influence. You know, that is how pros ride their bikes. And there are some slight advantages, you know, for a pro to do that. And so the thinking is that, well, bike riding is hard enough. I might as well copy the people who know the best, and that's the pros. And it doesn't work out that way.
No.
On bicycles.
No, it definitely does not. And the chance to be seated more upright. I have a Trek 2300.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you may or may not know that bike.
I know Trek uses a lot of numbers, and I think
It's a road bike,
and didn't it, like, have a lime green fork at one time?
No, it's kind of a grayish, yeah. It's
okay, well,
it's a composite.
Yeah, so, yeah, okay.
And you know, I've had it for a long... It was a pretty expensive bike.
Yeah.
Over time, it's
like quadrillion of them or something, because a lot of Trek 2300s out there.
Yeah, they were... I think they were around $1,200 at the time, 20 years ago. That was a lot of money. Still a lot of money, for that matter.
Yeah.
But I'm to the point now, where I loved it at first, but I'm to the point now I've got to raise those, try and figure out a way to raise those handlebars so that I'm sitting more upright on it. I don't know if I can do that unless I...
Yeah, you know, you can do it because you have a quill stem, and quill stems are... You can raise them. You've probably maxed out the stem height, but you can get another stem. There's other things you can do. I'd say at this time, you know, just bite the bullet, get another bike that's more appropriate for, you know, you now.
Yeah, a lot of people would like to buy it from me. I hear that all the time, especially guys in bike shops. They always say, well, let me know when you want to sell that. I'd like to buy that.
Tell them now.
Jane and Shell Lake, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, hi. My name's Jane Leonard from Shell Lake, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And my husband and I are in our mid-70s, and we were long-distance bikers for many years. And now we've switched to that giant battery assist bike called the Twist. They made them a couple years ago. I don't know if they continue to. But they are terrific because you still get a good workout. But you get a little help when you need it, too, for 20 and 30-mile rides or even less.
Okay, thanks for calling, Jane. Appreciate it. Comment there, Grant?
Yeah, you know, I'm all for electric bicycles, you know. There's a... I don't know. There's a faction in the bicycle industry, the non-electric bicycle industry, that electric bicycles are cheating or something, or you know, just pedal the bike. What's the point if you're going to get an electric assist? But I don't buy that at all. You know, I think, you know, if you compare them to a bicycle, you're right. You are not going to get as much exercise, but you're going to be riding them in times when you wouldn't be riding a regular pedal, you know, a regular bicycle. And if you look at them also just compared to a motorcycle or a car, where they're quieter, they're more fuel efficient.
Sure.
And it gets you outside. I'm all for them, you know.
Yeah. It's actually a lithium-ion battery. Is that technically an electricity?
Yeah.
It's really battery assist, so, I mean, there's no little motor in
it. It's some sort of voodoo magic, you know, that I don't understand.
Jane, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, a Facebook question from Rod. I'm 68. I've had some balance issues. I love bicycling, but no, I can't do it easily. I'm interested in a three-wheel bike. Can you speak to this and what to look for in a trike, for example? You know, what's safety concerns with them because of the wider wheels?
Well, you know, that's probably the hardest question I've ever has been posed to me in the last year about anything, but let me see what I can do with it. A challenge with trikes is turning corners with them, because you turn corners on a trike. If you turn a right corner, the trike will naturally go up on its left rear wheel, and you can topple over. So if you ever... I'll try to make this too fast. I don't want to go into a long story about trikes, so allow me to speak really fast right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at pictures of people riding or racing tricycles in England, they go around a corner, and they're always leaning heavily into the corner. It looks like they're leaning off the bike. So tricycles are inherently weird that way, going around corners. Now, there have been tricycles that have a mechanism, some sort of spring or articulation in the rear wheel that does keep both wheels on the ground. But, you know, another thing, if you have balance problems, is to look at a townie bike or one of these bikes with the, sometimes they're called crank forward bikes, and they have the saddle really low to the ground because the crank is forward, and you can easily put your feet flat on the ground while you're sitting on the saddle, and on a regular bike you can't do that.
That's really good advice. We can talk some more about that. We need to take a quick look at the news weather. We'll come back and talk some more with Grant Peterson. Stay with us. Even with Wisconsin's seasons and challenging weather, many of us try to ride our bikes as much as possible and much of the year as possible. Grant Peterson owns and was founder of Rivendell Bike Works, Bicycle Works, has been commuting exclusively by bike since 1980. Passion for riding, wants to help keep it fun for all of us, and his new book is Just Ride, a Radically Practical Guide to Riding Your Bike. And Grant, thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
And let's talk a bit more before we go back to the phones. I want to have you sort of describe for our listeners the book that you've put together.
Okay, well, you know, the subtitle, A Radically Practical Guide to Riding Your Bike, is fairly descriptive, and this is a book that should not have needed to be written. If it were 30 or 40 years ago, it would not need to be written, and if 20 years in the future, I hope there would not be a market for it. I think that right now, the average adult cyclist is heavily under the influence of professional racing, and that manifests itself in the kind of bike they ride. It's always a racing bike, not always a racing bike, I know that, but so often it's a racing bike that can't fit a practical tire. You can't put a rack on it. You can't put fenders on it. The handlebars are too low. It is a copycat racing bike. And on top of the bike, you know, they ride in professional racing clothing. Now, there are little benefits. You can certainly make a case, a practical case, for spandex shorts, a chamois in there with chamois cream on it, click-in pedals, like our spandex shirts, and even hydration packs that you wear on your back. But I don't think any of the arguments for those really stand up under scrutiny for somebody who just wants to ride a bike, have fun, get fit. Now, it's easy to take, you know, what I'm saying, and it's easy to take it the wrong way and think that, well, okay, this guy is on the opposite end of the spectrum from racing, so therefore, he must be advocating a really lazy, lackadaisical, slow putt-putt way of riding a bike, and it's not like that at all.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, you know, you can go out and be vigorous and physical without copying professional racers and their bikes. So I'm just trying to point out some of these things in the book.
Yeah, and I think you have a lot of really good things to say about food and drink. I was told, always told, to drink before you're thirsty or eat before you're hungry. And
yeah,
you say that's ridiculous, and you're right.
It is ridiculous, you know. If you're going out for a long, hot, sweaty ride, then it's normal to sort of water up, you know. But that's as much a psychological advantage as a physical one. But you know, as you do sweat, you will be more thirsty. But you know, it's not like the the world started 40 years ago, and I think before 40 years ago, no one ever said, eat before you're hungry, drink before you're thirsty. And yet, we are still here, you know, and your grandparents somehow managed to be born and live without that kind of advice. So you'll do that naturally, you know, and it's not the same thing as saying, you know, wait until you're spitting white or you're starving before eating or drinking. Just practical advice.
Now, I'll tell you what. Let's go to Mike in Platteville. He's been waiting a long time. Mike, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi. I'm a long-time commuter. I've been commuting to work probably since a little after your guest has, about 1984. And I do it on a fairly simple bike with fenders, rack, all the comforts I can for every point of contact between me and the bike. But I also had a friend who suffered from some balance issues, and he rode one of the new trikes, which was almost like a recumbent. It's fairly low to the ground, which gives you a better control and better balance. And it was just a very nice bike. We actually took it for little rides around the shop when it was first built, and it felt absolutely great.
Very cool.
I wonder if your guest could comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, this is the third question, and two of them have been about tricycles. So I'm a little. Are tricycles making a comeback that I'm not aware of?
No.
I understand. I'm sort of operating a bubble at Rivendell where I work, but you know, if trikes are making a comeback, I'm all for it. And a lot of people can benefit from a trike, and I'd like to know something about this. Who makes the trike?
Oh, boy. I'm not exactly sure who made this one. The owner of the bike shop in Platteville would know. He kind of special ordered it for him.
But he was commuting
back and forth from Lancaster to Platteville.
All right, so it's not like miles. Trekker Specialized is now making trikes and it somehow escaped me.
It's not Trek, I don't think.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, okay. Townie or somebody, maybe. Who knows?
I guess for me, it's all about what makes you comfortable on a bike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I think we have no argument there. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks a lot for calling, Mike. Appreciate your call. And we have some quite a few comments, Facebook comments and emails. If you'd like to join in by phone, give us a call. Open lines get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Facebook question from Debbie. We're going to be leaving for Holland next week.
A tricycle.
We'll be bicycling for 10 days. Can you recommend rain gear or talk about riding in the rain?
Oh, yeah, sure. There's one entry in the book that talks about rain gear, and it sort of makes a case for the poncho. And the poncho is hard to make a case for because it seems like such an awkward garment to wear. You can't see any of the bike that you're shifting and braking on while you have it on, and you don't really feel like you have freedom of arm movement or anything like that. But when it's pouring down rain and you've got just a few miles to go, I don't think there's a better garment out there than a poncho. It'll keep you dry, at least from your neck down to the top of your knees. Then you need something for your shins and your shoes, but I would say get shoe covers or ride in, Crocs or something, and just don't have cotton socks, and then wear some sort of a helmet with a helmet cover or a rain hat, whatever they do over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a poncho fan, and I'm not saying that they're the only thing that works. And you can certainly buy rain pants also, but rain pants, I don't know, you get so hot in them.
That's the trouble with rain pants.
Yeah, so I'm a poncho fan, but I know that's an unpopular opinion. So.
Mm. There you go. Dan in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering about all the bicyclists I see on the sidewalks, and I'm a dog walker, and I walk some pretty ferocious dogs, and I would really not ask you to get off the sidewalk. That's your thing. But assess the dogs before you come up to them, because you could get into a lot of trouble real fast.
Well, I'm a dog walker, too, and I'm an occasional sidewalk rider, but if I see a guy struggling with three pit bulls on three leashes, I'm going to get off the sidewalk anyway. I'm surprised to find that the dogs aren't scaring the riders off the sidewalks. But yeah, I mean, you aren't. I would say if you are a bicycle rider riding on a sidewalk, that's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing to do, but certainly you should be the first person to hop off the sidewalk when any other sidewalk user is on it. I think bicycle riders should defer to pedestrians every possible place, and dog walkers, and
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Get out of the way.
That's very good points. Dan, thanks again. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Email from Brian. He says, I've been purchasing touring components from Grant for years. Would like to thank him for embracing practical bikes and components. Maybe you can say a word or two about your company, Rivendell Bicycle Works.
Yeah, I will try to minimize the commercialness of this pitch, but I have a company called Rivendell Bicycle Works. It's about 17 years old. It's on the internet. It's rivbike.com on the internet. And we don't sell racing gear. We sell practical, often quite expensive gear, but we also, we have things, for as low as $3. We sell a variety of stuff. We sell beeswax, pine tar soap, some books that have nothing to do with bicycles, and we have these really fine lugged steel bicycles and leather saddles and wool clothing and practical gear, and we don't sell any clipless pedals and, we don't sell racing gear. And so it's amazing that we can stay in business, but somehow we are able to. So, and thank you, Brian.
All right. An email from Edward. I'm listening to the program right now, and I have a comment. This summer, I purchased a Dutch-style bicycle. It has put the enjoyment back into biking for me. Upright seating position, a spring saddle makes for a slow but steady ride, and the full chain guard means I don't have to worry about my pants legs.
Yeah, a Dutch-style bike, for the listeners who aren't quite sure exactly what that means, but ordinarily, it means a bike with that you can just step through rather than step over, with that doesn't have like the horizontal bars on the top tube up there, and it swoops down really low. So that, for instance, if you had a near ankle length skirt on, you could still get on the bicycle. I'm not saying that that's what people wear. I'm just trying to draw a picture of the bicycle. And those bicycles are really nice. They're really practical. They put you in a comfortable position. A lot of times, and they're getting to be popular, but a lot of times people go there after they've just had such heinous experiences on the extreme opposite end of the bike. Then they just throw up their hands and say, I've had enough. You know, I'm going to follow the Dutch. But that brings up one other point. The woman who earlier was talking about rain gear for riding in Holland or wherever, I would say, you know, just go there, look at what other people are wearing, and copy them. Okay, now back to whatever topic we have at hand. I should have said that. I mean, it occurred to me later, but...
No, that's all right. Robert in Green Bay, hi. Thanks for...
Sorry. Hey, I was wondering if you guys ever thought about, you know, I go to your site on occasion, but I was wondering if you ever built a cyclocross bike and if some that we can purchase because I own one. It was my first bike I ever bought just because I needed something for commuting and, you know, if I want to go on a road race or, you know, I know you're not a real advocate of racing, but, you know, some of us do. And it's just, it was a good all-around bike, and I still have it. I still ride it every day, and it's a good, fun bike to ride.
Cyclocross bike.
Yeah, well, a cyclocross bike is basically a road bike with good clearances, and it's made for riding in the mud, in the muck, on trails, on cyclocross courses. But as the caller inner says, they can be good all-around bikes, too. And the fact is, you know, we have had a cyclocross bike. It was called the Legolas bike, the elf in the Lord of the Rings. And we had that bike, and, you know, every year we think about bringing it back again, and, you know, I guess might be a little bit late for this year, but... I don't know. We certainly aren't against it. We've got a few cyclocross racers there at Rivendell, and so there's certainly the interest in it. But yeah, we aren't going to sell any road racing bikes. But cyclocross is kind of cool. It's a different kind of racing than road racing. It's not the bad.
I did a cyclocross race in Sheboygan this weekend, and I brought my daughter. It's just they're always at parks. And there's always kids around, and you just keep
totally
doing lap after lap. And it's just a good, social, fun, people cheering you on, heckling you. It's a good time.
I totally agree. I wish road racing were like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Robert, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Bill in Madison. Hi.
Hi. My question is really about trying to use my bike more often to do errands. And I want to get a trailer for it that I can put, you know, a week's worth of groceries in for my family. So I wonder if you have any recommendations like that.
I know that Burley makes them, Trek makes them, and there used to be a company called Winchester. It's kind of a scary sounding name for a bicycle trailer, but, you know, there used to be one of those out there too. And they work really well. I think that... trailers are probably a good choice if you have a bike that you can't put panniers on or baskets on or big saddlebags on, because there are certainly other ways to go shopping. But if you're shopping for a week at a time, a trailer is definitely the way to go. So I'd look at what Trek has to offer and Burley and that Winchester company. Trailers work well.
Mm-hmm.
I'd use them. I'm a fan.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Several comments here. I'm an email from Edward. I'm listening to the program. I'm sorry. We just did that one. Here we go. Douglas commented on Facebook. Oh my, it was back to trikes. I think the trikes that people are asking about are really the recumbent style, the two wheels in front, one in the back style.
Oh yeah.
The hostel shop in Stevens Point sells a lot of those. Green Speed, Cat
oh,
Trike.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, green. Yeah. Okay. Well, when I when I hear trike, I think.
Yeah, the other way around.
Trike, but yeah, I think when you have two wheels in front, I think they're called polywogs or something, and then certainly are recumbent trikes. And recumbent trikes, let's see, how do I say this? I think they're really good. They're great for people with balance problems, and they're, you know, any recumbent is really good for flat riding, I think. Recumbent riders, and certainly the most vehement of them, think that they're the only way to go for all reasons. I have a minor problem with the head height and the visibility issue, and that it makes it hard. You know, recumbents are a little bit more difficult to ride up hills, but for some people, they still make the most sense. And, yeah, the green speed ones are really good.
Caller Gladdy from Iron Mountain, Michigan, wondered about the four-wheel Tetra bikes. We're getting a lot of...
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. I don't know anything about it either.
There are, I guess, you know, I don't know, over in Germany or Holland or Sweden or something, I know, and I'm sure some places in this country people are working on four-wheel pedal bikes, but someone's probably working on a five-wheeler. You know, I don't mean to to make light of the question. I think it's a good question. It's just a little bit beyond my ken, I guess.
The one thing that I wondered about, you had comments on helmets, and you say helmets aren't all they're cracked up to be. So I would disagree with you on that. But
did you read it?
I read what you said.
Okay, well, for the edification of the listeners, I'm not anti-helmet, but bicycle helmets are not as protective. That's what I mean by all they're cracked up to be. They aren't as protective as you would like them to be, as they would be ideally in an accident. But, you know, it's because the manufacturers of them are faced with this challenge of making a helmet that is marketably light, marketably well ventilated, and yet also protective. Now, any of those helmet makers can make a rock solid helmet, you know, that'll let you get whacked in the head with a baseball bat, and it'll protect you. But it's not the kind of helmet that you're going to want to ride your bike in, because it's going to be too bulky and weigh too much, and so on and so forth.
Be too hot.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that they aren't as protective as you would like them to be. Yes, they have to pass tests, but as I say in the book, the tests that they have to pass aren't all that realistic. They aren't all that indicative of the kinds of forces that can smack into your head on a bicycle ride.
Yeah.
And because they are protective gear, there's also this concept, this notion, this thing called risk compensation. And all risk compensation says that if you wear protective gear of any kind, you're more likely to engage in behavior that you would not engage in if you didn't have it on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point of protective gear. And so if you put on a bicycle helmet and then you go down a bouncy, rocky trail faster than you would without the bicycle helmet, you're more likely to crash. And then what happens when you smack your head? How protective is that helmet?
Yeah.
So in this case, you might be actually safer not wearing the helmet and not going down that trail, or not wearing the helmet and just riding a lot more carefully because you aren't depending on the helmet. And so I'm not against helmets. So look at the big picture. Look at everything that I've said here. And I hope, you know, I get accused of being anti-helmet a lot, but, you know, I'm not.
No,
I own four bicycle helmets.
It was the first thing I just opened up the book when I first read it. I opened up to that, happened to open up to that chapter, and I thought, because I had gone over the top of my handlebars once and cracked my helmet, and without the helmet, I wouldn't have been a pretty sight.
Yeah, and helmets can absolutely save lives, but they don't do it as well as we would like them to do, and they can make you think you're
somebody you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Grant, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed your book, Just Ride, A Radically Practical Guide to Riding Your Bike. Grant Peterson is founder of Rivendell Bicycle Works. Great to have you with us. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Larry. It was fun. Thank you.
And you're going to be, are you going to be in town? Are you going to be in Wisconsin at all?
Two bookstores in Wisconsin. I don't have my schedule in front of me, but I can run and get it just a second.
Tell you what, we've got it up on our Facebook page. So we're going to have people go to our Facebook page. I'm sorry I didn't get to that sooner. Thank you so much for being with us today.
No, thanks a lot, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.